If stones could talk, what would they tell us? Hi, I'm Rick Steves. Today on Travel with Rick Steves, we'll hear how there's a story behind nearly every stone in the English countryside. And we'll get tips on seeing first century Pompeii, frozen in time after being buried with the eruption of Mount Vesuvius. Let's start in Scotland. While you just have to see stately Edinburgh and venture into the romantically lonely Highlands, Scotland's largest city has turned into quite an attraction of its own. Anne Doig joins us now to fill us in on what Glasgow has to offer. We're at 877-333-RICK, and by email, we're at radio@ricksteves.com. Anne, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Rick. Yes, so, it is very unusual for a person from Edinburgh to be talking about Glasgow, because there's real rivalry. They'll say in Glasgow you'll have a better time at a funeral in Glasgow than a wedding in Edinburgh.
Was that right? So yeah. What exactly does that mean?
Well, a huge amount of Irish came to Glasgow. Glasgow was a city where you could get work. It was an industrial city. So there's a wonderful mix of migrants, Irish first, and then after the war, Italians, and then people from South Asia. And it's 5,000 per week in 1844 from Ireland.
We're coming into
Glasgow during the Hungry Forties.
So in the Industrial Revolution, Glasgow was just becoming a real mighty industrial centre.
Second city of the British Empire.
Now, I understand the population exceeded 1 million at a certain time, but now it's down to 700,000. Why is that?
Well, the industries went after the Second World War. There was shipbuilding, manufacturing. It's all gone. Iron and steel. So people have left.
So there must have been dreadful days or years.
Yes.
But now that seems to be changing.
Yes, it's on the up again. In fact, they say the sort of economic history of Glasgow is very similar to its topography. It's built on what the geologists call drumlins, which are little hillocks formed by the ice when it was melting. So you go up and down, a wee bit like San Francisco, you know. And the people, because of the economics, developed an amazing sense of humour. Huh. And comedians, if they make it in Glasgow, they'll make it anywhere. They're terrified of the Glaswegian clouds because they're often funnier than the comedians on stage.
So how can a traveller enjoy that when they come to Glasgow?
Well, it's everywhere, really. There's a lot of theatres and pubs and a lively night scene. And if you go into some of the local pubs, the people are really friendly. They'll engage you in conversation and persuade you that Glasgow is the centre of the world and Edinburgh is all it's got is a clock.
So if I came into Glasgow all alone, and I just wanted to connect with people, I could go to a pub, just any corner pub, and I would imagine the best thing is just to go right up to the bar and sit at the bar. That's where you're most accessible.
Mm-hmm.
And what would we talk about?
Well, they'll tell you how great Glasgow is. They love their city. They're really passionate about it. There's a little pub in the centre called the Horseshoe Pub. If you find that, it's a classic pub, if you like, public house. And a lot of the office workers will go in there at night, so it's not full of tourists.
So that's what you want, is a kind of a spit and sawdust local and have a lot of local people to talk to. You know, when we think about Britain, you think Dublin, it's a beautiful Georgian city. Edinburgh is a beautiful Georgian city, part of the British Empire. And then you think Glasgow and you think Belfast. These are industrial powerhouses.
That's right, yeah.
Both of these cities have had boom times and then tough times. And now they are coming back as not industrial, heavy industry cities, but cultural cities. When you take a walk in Glasgow, you're going to see a renovated riverside path. Talk about how you might just enjoy a walk through Glasgow.
Well, there's a lovely walk through the Merchant City, and they often use Glasgow as New York in the turn of the century for Edith Wharton novels. And there was a Brad Pitt film filmed there, big sandstone buildings. And they're much more exuberant than the buildings in Edinburgh. You've always got to look up the way. So the Merchant City has some of the finest Victorian buildings. And then along the riverfront, it's all modern.
Modern, yeah, because when you go to Edinburgh, it's all very elegant.
18th century and elegant.
And very nice. And you go to Glasgow, and you've got some striking architecture. Tell us about McIntosh.
Well, Charles Rennie McIntosh was a Glaswegian architect well ahead of his time. And he was a true artist. He would not compromise his ideals. And that made him not so popular in Scotland because when he was building a commission, he'd often go over budget. So he actually died in poverty, but he left us a wonderful legacy of Art Nouveau. And he was really the exponent of Art Nouveau from Scotland and well received in the secession in Austria, but really received better in Europe than he was in his own homeland.
So that's interesting. A lot of people absolutely love Art Nouveau, and they'll go to Jugendstil, and they'll love the Alphonse Mucha in the Czech Republic. They'd love Gaudi in Barcelona. And if you're going to Britain...
If you go to Glasgow...
Perhaps the best Art Nouveau you can see in Britain would be in Glasgow.
The Glasgow School of Art, and they do excellent tours. He designed the Glasgow School of Art.
So that's a building that would be sort of your quintessential Charles Rennie Mackintosh building.
And his own home they took down and put in the museum at in Glasgow, the Hunterian. So you can actually see the house that he actually lived in, which is really interesting.
This is Travel with Rick Steves. We're exploring Glasgow in Scotland and joined by Scottish guide Anne Doig. Our phone number is 877-333-7425. And Jan's on the phone from Racine, Wisconsin. Jan, thanks for your call.
Hi. This is a very timely thing. We definitely have plans for Glasgow this summer. We've heard a lot about the redevelopment along the riverfront. I was wondering if you could comment more about... I know in the past it might have been a little touchy to be down there, but there's a new museum, I understand.
Yes, there's a new transport. The transport museum before was excellent, but this is really mind-blowing. There's a new museum, there's a science museum, there's a huge conference centre, which they call the Armadillo, because it looks a bit like an armadillo. BBC Scotland on the front, new hotels. It's very, very modern. It looks more like an American city, actually. But that was all developed after the Garden Festival in 1988. The whole city was renovated, and they're really looking into the future in a modern way.
So I understand there's a particular museum dedicated to shipbuilding and the engineering heritage of the River Clyde.
The Transport Museum, and it's down on the riverfront.
So that's called the Transport Museum on the riverside.
That's right.
Jan, have you been to Glasgow?
Not yet. That's why we've been to different places in Scotland. It's a wonderful place to visit, both city, town, up in sky, everything. Mm. We very much look forward to a return visit.
There is sort of a buzz about Glasgow these days, isn't there?
Well, that's why there's, you know, a real intrigue about, you know, seeing some of the, obviously, you know, the old heritage exhibits, whether it's Mackintosh throughout the city.
Right.
But also some of the gardens, some of the museums, always a very interesting art scene we hear. And also some of the local artists and artisans.
You know, all around Europe, there are these quirky little time warp, lost in the past discoveries that they make. And I understand in Glasgow there's a place called the Tenement House. Anne, can you explain the Tenement House?
Well, the Tenement House was a classic tenement. And I know in the States a tenement can be sort of low-level economic, but not in Scotland. Tenements were often for lower middle-class people.
So people aspire to live in a tenement.
Well, yes, you probably eventually in the 20th century wanted out.
And they discovered this woman's house, like just
she lived in it
perfectly preserved.
From 1880 till about 25 years ago, and it's exactly the way it always was. She didn't move forward, so it's like a time warp.
And now it's open to the public.
It's open to the public. It's run by the National Trust for Scotland, yes. Very interesting.
So if Jan's going to Glasgow, her top sites would be the Glasgow School of Art to see the Art Nouveau.
Yes.
The Tenement House, just to drop in on, what's her name, Agnes Towards home from the 1930s.
That's right.
And the
The Transport Museum and the Kelvin Grove Art Gallery and Museum, which has just reopened as well. The Burrell Collection. I mean, Glasgow's absolutely full of art galleries. And it's interesting that a Glaswegian has won the Turner Art Prize for the last three or four times.
It's amazing. You're from Edinburgh and you sound like you are a spokesperson for the Glasgow Tourist Board. Jan, there's lots of ideas, aren't there, for Glasgow?
Very much so. That's why thank you very much.
All right. Have a good time on your visit.
Yes.
And Chris is on the phone from Novato, California. Chris, thanks for your call.
Thank you. Well, thank you for taking my call.
Yeah.
My great-great-great-grandfather on my father's side emigrated to the United States from Scotland, from Glasgow. And I've never been to Scotland. It's way up on my list of places to go. And I was just delighted to hear you guys talking about Charles Rennie Mackintosh. I'm an artist as well, and I'm very interested in the arts scene in Glasgow. So any suggestions for me?
Well, I would say, I'll just jump in right away and say you must go to the Glasgow School of Art, which is right in the centre of the city, and he designed it. And the art students there, all of them seem to do really well in the international art scene, and they actually guide you around. So you have an art student taking you around so you can really appreciate the building. And you'll understand why he didn't compromise his ideals for money. Over budget. So that would be my number one place.
Sounds like a lavish building. And could you also sort of build upon that and get a guided walk through the city from an architectural point of view?
Yes, they do architectural walks through the merchant city.
Okay.
The new buildings along the front, you would be advised probably to take the double-decker top bus that goes round, and you can hop off and hop on because they're a little bit further out.
We should mention, much as we're raving about Glasgow here, I don't think you would go to Glasgow at the expense of Edinburgh. You should probably try to see both of them. Edinburgh has so much charm and everybody just loves it. And the exciting news is there's 4 trains an hour connecting the two cities. You could almost commute back and forth.
Well, that's right.
Oh, it's, that's great.
You
that's
could
great.
Actually Every 15 sleep in a minutes. Hotel in Glasgow and have a 12-hour day in Edinburgh and come back.
Absolutely.
Or vice versa.
And the hotels in Glasgow tend to be a little bit less expensive than Edinburgh.
I think on my next trip, I'm going to stay in Glasgow and then I can relax on the train for an hour getting over to Edinburgh.
Well, actually, you can take a bus. It's much cheaper. I'm
Was that
Scottish.
Right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh.
It's £6.50 and they go every 15 minutes from just behind the train station.
You know, thinking about taking the bus, it's a slower way over land. You get to see a little bit more, I would imagine.
Yes, but I have to say that bus route from Edinburgh to Glasgow, it's the only route in Scotland that's not scenic. It's right through the...
Of course.
Well, you're going to get there quicker, and there's plenty of scenic joys in Edinburgh and in Glasgow. Chris, thanks for your call.
Oh, thank you so much.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I understand that if you're interested in your physical safety, you want to steer clear of drunken brawls between supporters of the two soccer teams.
Exactly. Be careful. The Old Firm, they call it. There's real rivalry between Glasgow Celtic and Glasgow Rangers. And it's really quite ugly.
Be careful what colours you wear on game
They'll
day, huh?
Say, that's what, when you go into, a lot of my Americans ask, what does it mean, no colours? You're not allowed to wear your football colours in a pub because it can cause a fight, a punch-up.
Wow, what colours are those?
Well, green and white is Celtic, obviously.
Green and white, there
and
goes
red,
half my
white,
wardrobe.
And red, white, and blue is Rangers.
Red, white, and blue.
And it's Protestant and Catholic.
Protestant and Catholic.
Yeah, and it's...
Very interesting. Mm. So, Anne, you say the people of Glasgow have a better time at a funeral than the people of Edinburgh have at a wedding.
That's
so if I want to get in on some of that funeral fun, to really connect with the Glaswegian people and just really have a fun cultural experience, where would I go and what would I do?
Well, I would go to the West End, Byers Road, the university area, the ubiquitous Chips, an old established restaurant. Or right in the centre of town is the Horseshoe Pub. And you connect with definitely with the people there, local pubs
so
and restaurants.
Plenty of sightseeing during the day. And then in the evening, get out there, enjoy the pub scene.
Absolutely,
and
yeah.
celebrate Glaswegian cultural boom.
Yes.
Anne Doig, thank you very much for
taking us
to Glasgow. Next, we head south to the border with England, hop over Hadrian's Wall, and explore the sights of ancient Britain on Travel with Rick Steves. Travel with Rick Steves is made possible in part by the European Union delegation to the USA. Tips about traveling in Europe and information about the EU are available at euintheus.org.